Before we share the word of God with you today and we go further in what the Lord wants us to do together. Father, we just thank you that you come to instruct us. You're the greatest teacher and you want to bring us to a place of understanding your life. And we just really ask today, Lord, as you've enabled me to share, may the outworking of everything on your heart will be fulfilled today. May we just see something incredible take place. May every one of us be changed. May we gain understanding, but through that understanding, may faith arise in our hearts to do what you've called us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this week or these few days that we've had, we set aside to waiting upon the Lord and have been incredible. But the Lord dropped something in my heart that I really want to share with you today is about live the dream. And I know we grow up in society, we grow up in families, and I have a premise to say is that I think sometimes the society that we grow in and the culture that we grow in molds us into its image. And we don't realize it, but we actually are a product of our society and our families. And I don't know if I've shared it before and I apologize if you've heard it before. There was a family where they would bake a roast every Sunday after church, and it would be a meat roast, and then always used to cut off the edge and put it in. And after a few years, they came and asked, but why are you doing that? No, we don't know, but my mother used to tell me we used to cut the edge off and you put it the roast in. So they used to do that with every single roast. So you were molded into an understanding of that. And I think also what we have in our schooling system, and I'm not decrying our schooling system, they're doing an incredible job what they're trying to do. But I think there's a conformity that comes, and what I really do see is the something of creativity that God has given to every one of us is not brought out. We molded, and we put into a system where the aspect of God is, because God is creator, and he's given us an ability to be creative and to do things very differently. And I want to just say a lot of that stuff is that we get the kids to a place where they don't want to play anymore. And you know, if you watch young children and you see them get into a playground, they play games and they do things and they're dreaming things and they're making up people and they've got such a rich imagination. But get to grade 12. And it's gone. I hate school. Am I right? And how many of you enjoyed school? Oh, I've got some good hands there. Because I tell you why you enjoyed school, because you played. You played. Now, I think it's been lost in society, and I think it's been lost in the church. Something that God has created us to be is this ability to be creative and to dream. And I want to just say, God's got you on a path and he's got us as a path as a church, that there's something that we've got to unearth again of his creativity by the Holy Spirit. And to start to allow those saliva juices of him within us to start to let us dream again. And go forward. Now, it's to dream for you as an individual, but to dream for us as a church. And I don't know, I want to say, even as you get older in life, don't lose the dream. Don't lose the dream, because I think you can go into your 80s and you can still be dreaming about what God wants to do in and through your life. And you know, I want to just say is, hope is a foundation we all need. And if you don't dream, you're not going to have hope. If you don't have hope, you're not going to have faith. And if you don't have faith, you're not going to build the way God wants us to build. So I come with encouragement today is that I really want to stir you up with something of God's ability that's within you. And don't be conformed to this world and its patterns and its structures. You know, I grew up and God's given me a little bit of this discipline in my life, unfortunately. And it's a problem sometimes because I like to be strong in discipline. And what happens with discipline is that you can become very linear. And what I mean linear, you like the straight lines. And unfortunately, when I see things are out of line, I want to correct it all the time. But some people are not created. God's not always created like that. If you go and see creation, it's not linear. It's complex. It's chaos. And, you know, I don't know the theories of quantum physics, but they say the earth was created out of chaos. There was chaos. And so if your home is chaotic today, rejoice. God's at work. He's at work, and he's going to build something wonderful out of it. But I come to, again, just to encourage you that we need to learn to dream, and we need to teach it. And I think this is an important thing. And I remember my children, and especially Andrew, he came up with an idea, and he said, "Dad, I want chickens." So we've got a bit of a bigger plot in Lombardy, and so we could have a space. But I said, it's not as good as that. You know, we can't just have chickens. Where are we going to put them? So we had to plan to do this thing. So we had the dream. Now we wanted chickens. And why did we want chickens? Now we wanted the eggs. Now, because we wanted the eggs that we could sell the eggs and we could make some money out of the thing. But it wasn't as good as that, because now we need a chicken coop. Now, what do you need for a chicken coop? But now if you've got a chicken coop, you've got to build a chicken coop. But where are we going to put the chicken coop? So we had to clear up an area in the garden that we, it was a bit of a mess, and we had to compact the ground, and we had to build a foundation, we had to build a structure, we had to plan the thing, and we had to find the materials, we had to put a roof on the thing, and we had to put stuff around it, so we had to go and get a whole bunch of pallets, and we built this whole thing, and we got a fantastic coop that we got there at the end of the day. And eventually we got the chickens, and the chickens came there, and they destroyed my garden. But then we had to enclose them in, and we eventually got the eggs. And after a number of years, the dream faded. We don't have chickens anymore. No, Johan's mom's got them. But what I'm trying to say, there's a dream that we had. And I could work with my children, and we planned the whole thing, and it came together. And I want to just say, God's got a dream and a plan for you. And the important thing about that is that we've got a self-will. We've got a will that God's given us. And God doesn't want to take that away from us, because that's how he created us as individuals with incredible diverse personalities. But we've got to align our will with his will. So God can speak all these things over us. He's got good plans for us. But we can work divergent paths. We can go our way, and God says, that's what I've got for you. And we'll never meet. So that's where, when God starts to speak to us, we've got to come to a place of alignment. So I want to just share, how do we build? I think building in life is such an important thing. The schooling system doesn't always teach you how to build, and to build your life, and how do we build the church. And I've had the privilege to work with my dear friend Dieter to do quite a few building projects together. It is fun. When you start to see, it's not the fear and of how we're going to do this thing, but when you start to plan, you have the dream and the vision of where the plot of land is, and you get the architect out, and you do all the things, and then you put this thing together. It is such fun. And God wants that journey that we're in here. You're not just to exist here on earth. We are here to build. We are here to build your life in Christ, but we are to build our lives together in Christ also as the body of Christ. And I think that's so exciting. God is not finished in our lives, and he's still building. So I really come to encourage you here today. So there, when you get together and you start to do things, you see the dream, and you need to have the dream, and then you start to plan. And when you look up there, that's the completed thing. But you've got to have that in your mind's eye. What is it going to be looking like at the end? And that's exciting, because God doesn't actually give you all the instructions how to do it. He gives you some parameters, what you should be putting together. But to fill in the spaces is up to you. So we put the plans together. We get the resources together. We get the materials. And so often we put a limiting factor on the resources, but I want to say, when we have faith, we trust God, and he provides for that. And then we build a foundation, and I'll show you that. Well, there's the plans coming together. You start to plan the thing, how it should look, and put it all together. And that takes a lot of wisdom and understanding to build the plans. And then we build this foundation, and then it needs to have a cornerstone. And the world has a different way of building. They put a foundation down, and the old builders had a cornerstone. And we see from there was the stone that was put in the corner that kept the structure together. And as we build in Christ, we have this cornerstone of Christ coming forward. And then we have a plumb line. You've got to ensure that from the cornerstone there's a plumb line that we have things aligned. We can't always have the lines going like this. And unfortunately, I've seen in South Africa the building standards that we have. When we've got the foundation skew, the wall comes skew, and then we eventually get the top layer skew, but with the duggers like this, you know, going up to get the thing, and we hide it with the plaster. Am I right? That's what we do. God doesn't build like that, because when the wind comes, it's going to fall over. And we've got to build correctly. So we need a plumb line. Okay, there's the foundations. I'm just showing you some pictorials how to build. And then we see the components of the building. We see a foundation. And then we see the superstructure on top with the roof that comes on. And then we get this, if we dream well enough and we trust God, we get this palace that we live in. That's in California. That's a real house that someone actually lives in. Cannot believe. I never mind the cars at the bottom, but that's not the dream. That's how someone actually lives. But I come to encourage you. How do we get there to a place? So I want to just say is that our foundation is very, very important. And if you don't get the foundation right, and sometimes when you excavated a piece of land and you build the foundation might be the most expensive portion of your building. Because if you don't build it correctly, and Jesus warns us, is that if you don't build on the rock, which is Him, and build on the sand, your house, when the storms of life do come, you might be blown over. So we've got to ensure that our foundation is on Christ. And I want to just say to us is that as we live life, make sure that your foundation is not built on a religious system, is not built on a church structure, it's built on Christ. And Christ is found through a relationship with Him and found through His Word. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says here that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. And that's a very important thing. We need that measurement. And that's why the New Testament scripture comes and tells us that we are in Christ, this foundation. And don't build your foundation poorly. Because otherwise, if you build a foundation poorly and you don't set it up properly, if it can't take, you know, if you're going to build that mansion, if you didn't get the foundation right, you wouldn't be able to go to, what, four levels of structure on that. The foundations will crumble and fall away. So I see in the life of this church, you know, we've been going around for 14 years. God has been working for many years on our foundation that to ensure that we are secure in Christ. And you'll find a lot of the times is that, yes, God doesn't just build a foundation and that's the plot. He keeps on expanding it that you go deeper and further, because it's a living foundation. It's not a static foundation. It's a living Christ that you're building on, and it can get stronger and stronger in Him as you get rooted and established in Him. It's the imagery more from the kingdom of God is more like a living organism. It's not a building physical, but I'm using a building physical just to demonstrate what God's trying to do. So we've got to be rooted and established in Christ. And if your foundation is not secure in Christ, I want to tell you now, get your foundation strong in Christ. Very, very, very important. And do that. And that's built up, and we know that it's built up through a relationship with Him. Don't get caught up in puffing up with knowledge. Get to know Him. And when you know Him, you'll have a sure foundation. And then we can start to build what God... This is where the exciting parts. Once we've got this foundation, we can start to go forward. So once we've got the foundation, as I said earlier, Christ is the plumb line, and you can read Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, 20. Everything is held together through Him. He's always the reference point in everything. When we look to children, when we look to marriage, when we look to business, when we look to finances, in every single area of our lives, He's the plumb line. He's always got this aspect of say, this is what I want to hold up to you, you know. And we look in society where we find ourselves at the moment and all the stuff that we are finding, where's the plumb line? It always comes back to Christ and what he's showing to us. So that's where we don't waver from these things. And how do we behave? It's Christ is our plumb line. And it always comes back to there. And I want to tell you, the standard is high. It is very high. But when we believe in him, he gives us his Holy Spirit. And then we can start to live according to that. And then we are living stones. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5.6, as I said, it's a living structure. You, like living stones, have been built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And it says, yeah, for the scripture says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So here we have this foundation, and I also just want to come and encourage us here today as we establish in his church here in Modderfontein, what is our foundation? And I want to say our foundation here is Christ and our vision and mission. We know that. We see it as you walk through the door there to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known and go and partner with the Holy Spirit. But this comes into our understanding of value. So I quickly want to just go through what is our foundation as we measure going forward and what we wanting to do. So firstly, we're devoted to loving God and loving others, his greatest commandment. We'll never deviate from that. The foundation, if we don't have love as working in our lives, I want to just suggest is that we don't have Christ then and we don't have God. And apart from him, we can do nothing. And remember that love is divine. It's not something that is birthed by any human being. There's a human love that is there, but we have the divine love, which we understand from the Greek word is called the agape love. And that is going to be preeminent in all our lives. Secondly, we are a people belonging to God. We are his church. We are his family. And that's important. Jesus said that I will build my church, and you are his church, the body of Christ. And you must recognize that you are the body of Christ. This is not just a building that you're coming into. You're gathering as his people, as his divine body, that he's the head of it, and you're part of that. And you're not insignificant. Everyone's got a part and a place to fulfill, and I want to see that you actually fulfill your role in his church. Then we're devoted to the Word of God. The Word of God is not just to have a Bible next to your bedside. It's to actually allow the Word of God to become living and alive in you, that it becomes your path that you follow. God has given us his Word, and I want to say, if you want to know him and want to preach about him and teach about him, get to know his Word. His Word is very powerful. I want to just say the Word is so powerful. We go through many, many things in life, and it's always got to be that the Word that we're holding on to. I don't know what you're going through at this point in time, but there are promises in God's Word that you need to get hold of. So maybe you're going through fear. And I want to just say, Lord, show me your Word that I need to be holding on to. And Philippians 4 is a wonderful, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and petition, bring your requests before God, and then the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Go back to God's Word and hold on to those promises that he has for you, and you will just see something of this foundation that we have will enable you to become even more secure in him. We're devoted to worship. We are not just devoted to Sunday morning singing songs to our Lord. That is part of worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is not just singing songs. Worship is an obedience to him. Worship is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Worship is being a disciple of Christ. That you are, who are you following? Are you following him? That is worship. And we do that in spirit and truth. And I want to encourage us. That's our goal, to worship our God in spirit and truth. We are devoted to fellowship because God wants us to build covenantal relationships, our relationships with another. Our relationships with one another are imperative. This is not a club. This is not an organization. It's not a business where you get a paycheck and you got a number, and if we don't need you in the business, we tell you, well, off you go. You are vital. You are part of it. We are living stones. We are gathered together. And how do we stay close to one another? Fellowship. And you know, when you drift away, and we know the example from a fireplace, when the coal is taken out of the fire, yes, it might be burning bright initially, but eventually what actually happens, it becomes full of ash and it dies. And that's why when we stand together, that's when we become vibrant and the fire is together. And that is the holding together of fellowship. And our fellowship is here as we gather together in this meeting and afterwards together. The chit-chat that we have with one another is important. But then also important is our life groups. We encourage you, get involved. You need others to actually be able to communicate with, to share your heart with. We are complex beings. And one of the aspects of our complexity is communication. And we're all lacking in that. And there's a need to communicate. Us guys, not so much. The ladies, plenty. But we need to communicate. We need to communicate. And we need to be open to communicate. And I'm telling you now, if you stop talking, I want to just say is that even if you stop talking to God, you're going to get cold. And we need to communicate. So we want to open an opportunity where you're talking about godly things. You're not just talking about the world and the pressures of the world and look what's happening to South Africa and da-da-da-da-da-da. And you just go down this slide of negativity and you have no faith for the future. We've got to be careful about that. Then we're practicing the Lord's Supper and we want to do that today. We're devoted to prayer, praying as a family, praying as individuals, praying together as the body of Christ, and encourage you to come and join us. We gather corporately on a Wednesday night. We are people of generosity. We don't abuse God's money that He's given us. We believe that we need to give because as we give, we receive because that's what God. God doesn't want money to hold us. It mustn't become mammon in our lives. We must learn to give. We give God what is His and we give to others. We learn to be generous. It's a challenge. But we've got to learn to be generous. We are people that are building as a team. We don't do it in, again, we don't work with lone rangers. We work together as a team. And as I said, I think it was last week or the week before, God gives us, we have the mind of Christ. It's not one individual, it's all of us together. So when you come like the folk coming part of this body here, we together, you're part of us working forward. We're not here to be, in a sense, to be dictatorial, not at all. We work this thing out together. We believe in developing good godly leadership. So, you know, if we don't have good leadership, godly leadership, this thing will also fall. Things have to be led. God created that way. We see that there's got to be good leadership. There's got an apostolic prophetic heart, and I'll share a bit more about that. And then we're also devoted to people that are sexually pure and walk in godliness, and I think that's some of the challenges that we have going forward. But now I want to just encourage us here today is how do we link this foundation to the superstructure that we go forward? And I want to just say, because what we are building is something divine and something that's invisible, and the link to that I want to suggest to you today is faith. Now, faith is given to you by God. It's not a natural thing. We have saving faith, and we have the faith that we live by, and it's given by the Holy Spirit to us. We have faith when we want to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called saving faith, and we believe and confess Him as our Lord and Savior, and faith births Christ in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But now it takes faith to actually live. And if you go and look at Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to encourage you, if you're measuring where you are in the level of your faith, go and look at Hebrews chapter 11 and how the men of old lived by faith. And the biggest challenge that I think Jesus had with His disciples and He has with us today is our unbelief, is our doubt, is that we're not exercising faith in Him and His Word. And the challenges of life that you have and the trials that you have in life are an incredible, incredible opportunity to exercise faith and faith in His Word and to declare those things that are not as if they are. And I want to just read one here to you, is that Hebrews 11 verse 30, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell, and after the people had marched around them for 7 days, there was faith. They didn't come down by knocking down with hammer and chisel. They came down as they were worshiping God, but by faith they came down, the miracles. So we have to build the superstructure that God has in our lives by faith. And I want to just say that is absolutely key, because God is wanting that. And some of the requirements we see in the book of Acts, when we're looking for men and women that actually need to take the kingdom of God forward and take your life forward, one of the requirements was that they be full of the Spirit and the Spirit of God and wisdom. But when they were appointed, they chose men full of faith and the Holy Spirit. So I want to just say to you today, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can have the evidence of speaking in tongues, but your faith might be weak. And I want to say God wants us to rise up and be full of faith. And if there's anything that can be measured, we see in the Gospels, is our faith, whether it's weak or it's strong. And I want to just encourage us today is that as we've got to build the superstructure that God wants us to build, we need to be strong and full of His faith. So here we get to this superstructure now, and that we've got to build. And that's why I said I'll get back to us saying we're an apostolic prophetic people. We're a people that work with God and see the future. And as He reveals the future, then we go forward to fulfill it as the prophetic, as the Spirit of God reveals His word to us, that we take hold of His word and we do what he says to us. We see in Acts chapter 13, I'm just rushing ahead because we've got some stuff to do. Acts chapter 13, when the church gathered together and waited upon the Lord, we did last week through worship and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and there was a specific instruction that came to the church for two men, and God worked that thing out. Now, I want to just say to you is that the Holy Spirit sets you up in Christ and brings you to a place of a firm foundation in Christ. But then He sets you up to go further and to build the superstructure, and He wants to speak to you. And God the Holy Spirit is speaking to every single one of you. If you hear in Him, it's a different story. But He is speaking to you, and He is declaring, because that's his purpose, is to declare God's future for you, to encourage you and to allow Him to build God's plan into your life. And He wants to encourage you. So this thing is a partnership with Him that He wants to reveal. He doesn't set you as a robot and He programs you and said, now you will fulfill this thing. As again, you're a living stone, you're His child, and He starts to work with you, and He wants you to cooperate with Him, and He wants to partner together with you. This is why faith is so important. And as you are responsible for your life now to build with Him, you cannot sit back and say, now I'm in Christ and it's done. Now the building process starts to grow. And I think that's so exciting in your life, that God puts a plan in your heart. And maybe you've got to a place even in your life here today that you don't know where you're going. You're in Christ and you're happy with that. And maybe you got your secular world sorted out, but your spiritual world, you don't know what's going on. I want to say we need to wait upon the Lord, and we need to be hearing what He's saying. And I'm telling you now, it's not always the big dramatic plans that we need. We need to see the stepped approach by God the Holy Spirit. He leads us step by step and guides us into the things that He's molding us into in Christ. And that's what I sent that message out on Friday. As we've been waiting upon the Lord, and we're going to do maybe just a bit of sharing now, God has spoken over this body. And a lot of those things that He's spoken about is for you individually, but for us corporately. And I want to tell you, God's got a bright, incredible future for us as His people here. God has planned incredible things for us, but we've got to align ourselves with faith to say, Lord, we're with You. We're going to work together with You. But not only does He want to do that as in the lives of us as His body, but you as an individual. What is God? God is so concerned about you. He loves you and He wants the very best for you. You know, as parents, we love our children, and we're trying to align their lives up that they can make successes of their life. How much more is God doing that with our lives? And maybe we haven't heard Him, and we're not in that place. And I come to encourage you today is that let's get back to hearing what the Spirit of God is actually saying to you today. So that's why we gave Him time this week to actually speak to our hearts. So I want to ask, I'm going to share just one word, personally, what God has actually shared with you and what for the church, and maybe six or seven of us are going to just stand up in the front here, and then I want us to gather together in our corporateness to pray over us as individuals and us as a family as we break bread, is that, Lord, we want to commit ourselves. We're actually going to make covenant with you, an agreement with you, is that we're going to be committed to following you and your plans for our lives individually and personally, that you can make a success of our lives as we work together with you in this part. Incredible, incredible opportunity that you've got a God that wants to partner with you. Isn't that incredible? That he knows everything and he knows the universe and he put this whole thing together. We can't even fathom it out. It's so enormous and so intricate and so complex. And here he comes and he says, you, I want to work together with you. And I want to make a success of your life. And no matter where you are and what you are, where you've been and the brokenness, he wants to gather you and make a success of your life. And that will have an impact and your influence will just grow incredibly. So I don't know where the mark is. I want to just share because I really believe it's important, and because this is a personal thing and I don't want to put you under pressure, thank you, is that what is God speaking to you personally and what is God speaking to us as a church? Now, I've waited upon the Lord and I just sense what God's challenging me on and to grow in as I'm building a superstructure. He wants me to grow in my worship. It's an area that I need to grow in. And then I also sense for a church, what God is saying, and the word that he's saying to me for us as a church is multiplication. Not growth. I just sense that word multiplication because I see the scripture is very much about multiplication, where Jesus said, you sow the seed, and the first, you know, he does it reverse. We always do 30, 60, 100. The scripture actually says 100, 60, 30. So it's the maximum that it can be, that God wants multiplication. And I really believe that for us as a people. So I don't know if you've been hearing God this week and you want to come share. I don't want to put you under pressure, but maybe some of the elders want to just come and share what God is doing. Just give us a word personally. So I'm just going to wait. Who wants to come and share with us? Come, Arvin. Got to put them under pressure, but now and again, you know.
One word's very, very difficult. But what the Lord's been speaking to me for quite a while is to be still. And to know that he is God, and so I think sometimes we miss that in many, many ways. Sure, just lost my train of thought. And I just feel for the church that, yeah, it was obedience. And obedience to Jesus only comes from a place of stillness. And I just feel that those two go together. Is to be still and to be obedient to him. And I just feel when we are obedient, great fruit comes. And when we're obedient to him, we're going to see Jesus. Now, I want to encourage every one of you sitting here today that we've had a lot of prophetic word and God's been speaking to every one of you. But there's something that you need to do to fulfill God's plan and purpose for life, and that means being obedient to him and trusting him and resting in him. Amen.
Amen.
No, one word's very difficult.
Here comes trouble. He brings the book.
No, I just think what has been coming through during this time of fasting and praying is change. Change has been really just prevalent in the messages coming through. But the thing that's been coming to me is, you know, I've been focusing on the church, is, you know, where does the church have to change? Where does the church have to change? What do we need to be doing differently? Because there is change that's coming. But then the Lord spoke clearly, change comes with individuals. We need to change individually. And when we change and we choose to change the way we think, the way we do things, surrendering more to the Lord and changing the things that is on the prophetic words for us, we will change as a body. Because if you read the prophetic words, there's two things. It's one, the promises of God. And also, if you look at them, it's what we need to do to change to get there.
Amen. Anyone else? Judy?
A I think just in line with that, you know, God has been saying adjust, adjust. And he's had me in Romans 8. And Romans 8 verse 6 says, the flesh is actually the whole nature of man, and the mind of man is our reason and our sense. But when we have that without the Holy Spirit, we just bring death. But with the Holy Spirit, with everything that God has put in us, and our mind and that reason and sense, with the Holy Spirit, it immediately brings life. So that's what just I feel for us as a church. And that lines up with everything else. And that's the scriptures, Romans 8, verse 6. For me, the Lord is just challenging me that don't let the enemy intimidate you. God has plans and he has purposes. And trust in him. And that means lean your whole being on everything of his power, his awesomeness, his grace, his mercy.
Amen. Anyone else that would like to share? Come, Connie. Anyone else, you want to just come to the front and...
Personally, it was that I should not put my faith in the worldly systems, but in God who never fails. For the church, it comes in two parts. First is boldness for children in confessing and sharing their faith and declaring the name of the Lord Jesus. The second part is to the parents to be active participants in bringing their children to know the Lord Jesus and in making him known.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Connie. Come, Barbara.
Well done. I'll just take a step of faith. Okay, in my quiet time, I felt this word. When you have a contagious illness, to stop the spreading of the disease, you need to be quarantined. However, in the kingdom of God, the opposite needs to take place. Go and spread the gospel of Jesus. And I felt also for myself not to be a quarantined believer and keep Jesus for yourself, but to give out what you have and go and make a difference.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Quinton, you wanted to share?
Each day during the prayer and fasting, God was giving me things as I was waiting on him. And one of the words earlier in the week was humility. And I just sensed how we sometimes, we think we're something and God can't use us when we think we're more important than him. And we actually have to always be submitting to him. Another word was about partnering and working with God. And it came so clearly that when you partner with someone, it's that that someone has actually got something going that you're coming into. Very often we want to create a partnership where we want God to partner with us. It doesn't work like that. We actually have to partner with him. And the change that was coming was just these things that we have to change personally. Yesterday the Lord gave me Mark 12 verse 30 and Matthew 12 verse 30. And I went to the one chapter in error thinking I was going to the other one. And it's just amazing how those two tied together. And it was the one that Jesus was asked about the most important commandment. And God said, Jesus said, it served the Lord wholeheartedly. And then the other passage is about where Jesus says, if one is not gathering with me, he is scattering. And God said to me that we can sometimes be serving God with parts of our heart. But if he says wholeheartedly, that means that it was possible not to serve God with every part of our heart. And so we have to actually continually be looking at which areas we need to change that are not serving God and that are scattering. And it may be just small areas. And overall, on the outside, we think we're doing right. But if we don't humble ourselves, going back to that word, then we'll never be able to see those things and submit and say, these are the things we have to change.
Amen. So God has said a lot of things about us, and we've put some of the prophetic word on the side here, and at your leisure, go and look at it and just let God just birth those things. Okay, Rev, sorry.
The word that came to me was growth, but it deals with growth spiritually, growth in maturity, growth in the Word of God. And that is for me personally and for the church, that we become spiritually mature, that we eat the meat of the word, we let go of the milk of the word.
Amen.
Can I say something about 100?
Yes.
And past day or even this morning, I was looking into the word of God, and the number 100 that is quite prevalent in the word is, they say, because in the ancient days they couldn't count beyond 100. So to them, the number 100 meant completeness.
Amen. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Come, Brigitte.
Morning. I just want to, what God's put on my heart this last week is, it's been said that to be a healthy and happy person, you've got to have someone to love, something to do, something to believe in, and something to look forward to. Now, all of us sitting here, we all love God, we know, and we know God loves us. And we've got him to believe in. The world doesn't have that. So already, they're at a disadvantage. In terms of something to do, when we're doing the things of the world, there's no satisfaction in that, or it might be short satisfactions. But to be doing the work that God gives us for the kingdom, because God's kingdom is, it's a design of giving, and in giving you always receive. And when the word says it's more blessed to give than to receive, is because what you get from giving is so much more than when you receive. So if I can just encourage you, all of this is about what does God want us to do, and working in obedience and making a difference for the kingdom. For one, we need to be taking out so that the people out there got something to believe in. The stuff that we need to be doing is the stuff for the kingdom. And we all need to hear from God. We've all got something to give and something to do. And if you don't have purpose in life and you get up and there's no reason to get up or nothing to do, you slowly die. And we can all do something. You know, if it's helping a church, if it's helping somebody else that's got the means and you can just assist them. But there's a place for each one of us to be doing something for the kingdom. We've got our Lord to believe in. We've all got somebody to love, even in this body, even if we don't have a spouse. But just to have somebody to love, we need somebody to love us.
Okay.
So.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Brigitte. So I just want to encourage you to live the dream. And I'm going to be a bit transparent now. I remember a few years ago, the place where I could dream was in the bath. And I would sit there and I would imagine me preaching the gospel. And I would imagine myself prophesying. And I would start to prophesy in the bath and start to say things. And I saw myself speaking over people and laying hands on the sick and people being set free. And I started to, and I got so stirred up, and the passion of God and the presence of God became so real. And it's waned a bit because we've got busy. Don't have time to dream anymore. And I want to just say there's two aspects to that. It's dreaming about his kingdom and what God wants to do through us and he wants to use us. But then also to dream in your area of influence, in your workplaces. I want to say, I don't know if everyone's got a garden, but I'm suggesting go and plant a garden. Go and get an area in the garden and design it and cultivate it and fertilize it and plant the seeds. Actually, plant the seeds and then water it and then see how it grows. It just, there's something in that. I love gardening, and I just know when you set a focal point and you do that and you put effort into that thing, and when the bloom comes, it's so satisfying. And I want to say God wants to do that with your life. Let's not lose something of God, of the dream. Let's not get caught up with the negative, because so often the negative robs us of what God's wanting to do with us. You know, I want to just say, I just sense some of you, people have said ugly things over you. They said, like a teacher will say to you, you will never amount to anything. You're useless. I want to say you need to take authority over those things. And even if you've had things that have happened in your past that have, yes, they've been hurtful and there's been consequences, God is a God of second chances, and let's dream again. I want to say, marriage couples, you need to dream again. It's not just a marriage. You need to dream to do exploits together. And can I just say, maybe I'm wrong here, but a bucket list is not a dream. That's things to do. But it's to dream and be creative and, yeah, let's dream again. And, you know, it's not only me to dream, it's every one of you. And your dreams are our dreams. And maybe you got a dream in the life of the church and what God wants to do through his people here. Let's dream. I know a lot of the things, you know, the workplace says to you, they promote people that have innovation. And that's true because there's creativity that people are starting to see things. What happens in the church to that? It's stifled. And I don't want to do that. I want to uncap it and let us dream. And we all got areas of influence, and may our area of influence increase, and may the creativity of God, and God gives the resources for that. Amen. So we're going to break bread, recognizing our Lord, but also recognizing our commitment to him. And as we do then say, Lord, we want to go into your dream that you have for us, your plans and your purposes. This is not master-slave relationship. This is father-child and what God has got for us. And God is for you. He's not against you. And he wants you to be successful, even though you go through trials and there's sufferings and there's issues there. He wants you to be successful. And I want to work with God because there's no one else that can do it better than him and allow him to mold our lives. And may we do it together, too. I think that's the wonderful privilege of being part of his family. You have an opportunity to do it together. I find that incredible. So every one of you, I invite you to the table of the Lord today. And we're going to make a commitment together. So I'm going to just lead us through some scripture. We're going to break bread together and invite everyone, wherever you are, even if you're in a place that you're far away from God, but you love him. I think that's the key thing. You love him, and you want to just remember him, because that's what the scripture tells us, is that we need to remember him. So everyone's invited to the table. And if you do have issues in your heart, just come before him and let him sort it out. You know, he's the one that's come to take away your sin. Not man, not a system, but him. For I received from the Lord what also passed unto you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord and eats and drinks judgment on himself, that is why many of you are weak and sick. But the scripture says this to bring us to the fullness of Christ. So let's just close our eyes. Let's prepare our hearts. And we're going to share in remembering our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you as we still our lives and we've heard what you're saying and what you have for us. You gave Israel the promised land to look forward to. And Lord, you've given us Christ yourself to look to. That's our fulfillment of our promised land, the fullness of you. And Lord, as we come before you, we don't want to be harping on the past, even though we need to deal with the issue of sin. But there's life after that. And we come for that eternal life. And Lord, will you instill in us a freshness? Will you instill in us an understanding that you are for us and not against us? And that something of the birthing of your creativity, of your plans and your purposes would be a reality as we partake of the elements here today, the bread and the juice here today, representing your body broken for us, that we can walk in wholeness and healing and walk in this forgiveness of our sins, but walk in eternal life in this new covenant. So Lord, as we come to the table, we come with knowing that you are cleansing us from all unrighteousness and that we can walk with you because of what you've done for us on the cross. So come with faith, come and take hold of the elements, come and take all in. Let's share the elements together. Come and get the elements and share it, and then we'll take it together. Let's do that. Amen. If the leaders can come and help us just hand it out, that'll be great. Thank you. Thanks, Rhea. Hey. Just relax, Tanya. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Has everyone got the elements? Okay, if you want to do with loved ones or your neighbor, that is wonderful. The Lord took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do it in faith and remember him. Oh, sorry. Just sorry, I'll wait for those folk to just to take the the bread, and then we'll continue. And then, Lord, on the same way after supper, you took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just as if, let's not collect the cups yet, but let's just hold hands, if you don't mind. I just want to commit our ways to the Lord, and as we've remembered him, then just say we committed to him as one body, his people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you've brought us this far as a people. And Lord, you have a great plan for our lives. In spite of a world out there, we belong to you and to your kingdom. And thank you, Lord, you've given us an understanding of how to work together with you. And we just thank you, Lord, that your plans, that your dreams for us as individuals and as your body here, Lord, they are good. And you want to fulfill them in and through us. And we want to just say as a people, as we stand before you in absolute humility, we stand before you trusting you and putting our faith in you and say, Lord, may everything that you've destined for us be fulfilled. And we make an agreement and a covenant with you, Lord, that we know you are committed to us and we are committed to you. And Lord, may every word that you've planned, everything that you've declared over us, may that be fulfilled in and through us individually and over us as your body. And then, Father, I thank you that you've set us up for success and blessing. And Lord, I just declare your blessing over us as a people, in our families, in our individual lives. And that blessing, Lord, will not just be a blessing that we can contain, but to be a blessing to others. So, Lord, will you bless this family? Will you bless every individual, even those not represented here today? Lord, will you take every single one of us into every plan and purpose that you have for us? We're so excited, Lord, for what you have for us. Open our eyes to continue to do this day by day, and may we not get into busyness and into the flow of life out there, but may we flow with you and do all that you've called us to do. May we live the dream, Father. May we live the dream. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you all. We love you all. And especially the visitors, come and join us for some.